Corporate Cafecito, a podcast based on professional development, career growth, and respecting our cultural identity. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Corporate Cafecito. Yo soy Nayeli Suarez Gas, and today I am flying solo, no special guest. But I wanted to take some time and talk about the importance of how we communicate in the workplace. And this is going to be more around people who over-explain or maybe we're people pleasers or, you know, I always talk about quedando bien, but how we tell people what we're trying to say and how we answer questions. And if you've noticed about yourself, you know, sometimes we say please too much, thank you too much, sorry too much. And part of that is going to take away from your voice and your leadership style and your presence. And so I want to make sure that you are able to communicate without having to use those words of having to say like please and thank you and sorry all the time. Let's start with a couple examples. The most common one is if you have competing priorities and you want to send something, or maybe you didn't reply to an email right away. So you say, I'm so sorry for the delayed response. And while it's okay to be like, oh man, I should have responded quicker, you know, the other person's probably not angry at you or upset unless they said like, hey, respond by 2 p.m. and you just ignored it. So I would say instead of saying sorry, you know, for the delayed response, say, you know, here is the answer you were looking for. Let me know if you need anything else. And that way you're not apologizing, right? Because when we apologize, a lot of times in the workplace, we're giving over control or we're giving up our voice because we are saying, I'm so sorry, I should have done this better. When we're holding ourselves only to what we define as better, we all wish we were quick responders, that we had the fastest answers, that we were able to communicate quickly. But in the absence of being so, you're not disappointing anyone. You may feel disappointed in yourself that you didn't do it fast enough or, you know, as quickly as you would have liked to, but hold off on, you know, saying sorry for when you're truly, dearly sorry versus just saying it all the time. And then maybe it loses its meaning or it also makes people feel like, oh, you know, well, they apologize. So they must have also known that it didn't meet expectations. You're kind of setting it up already. The other thing is, and this goes especially for people who have budgets, getting questioned on your budgets by people who have nothing to do with your budget. So I'll give you an example. You know, they may be like a peer from another group, or even someone who reports to you may say like, well, where are we on this budget? I like to answer questions with questions, not because I'm a question avoider, but sometimes some information is pretty private and some information is confidential and some information is none of their business. So instead of saying like, oh, this is why, or let me explain this number, you could say like, oh, well, why do you need that information? Why do you want to know that? Sometimes I use that even in my personal life. You know, if my Diaz or, you know, some of my friends ask me a question, I'm like, why do you want to know that? And this is especially tricky when people ask questions about salary or money or finances. You know, as a culture, we tend to be very open about our finances and we talk about them, etc. But sometimes things may get a little tricky. And if you don't want to answer that question, ask them why they want to know that information. Why do you want to know, you know, how much my husband makes or how much I make or how much my car costs? Why do you want to know that? And sometimes when we answer that question, like, for example, the how much did your car cost? It's because they're in the market for a car. So then, of course, I would share. But otherwise, you know, sometimes I don't want to give people information that then they could use to critique or judge or just do things that aren't necessary. So be mindful of that. Hold on, I'm going to drink some of my cafecito because it's so warm. And even though it's kind of warm outside, I still like coffee hot. I'm not an iced coffee person. Sorry, everyone. Except if I go to a bougie coffee shop, and then I will have an iced coffee in the summer. But 98% of the time, el café se toma caliente. The other thing is when we over-explain things, we lend ourselves to more questions. For example, you know, when I said, Why do you need to know that? What if someone asked me like, hey, what's your budget or what's your forecast for 2024? And I said, oh, it's this. They'd be like, how'd you get to that number? And then I'd be like, oh, it's, you know, I got to it by this, this, and this. Well, do you think that that's accurate? And it's like, I've now exposed myself to this series of questions from someone who may or may not even be able to influence my budget or my forecast or my numbers at all. And instead, I now am explaining to this person, and that person is able to ask all the questions, have, you know, an opinion on something where they maybe didn't have to weigh in. So be mindful of the information that you share, because you want to make sure that it's useful, purposeful, and with good intentions. And I say that because, you know, el chisme is really good too. So sometimes we may ask someone just because we want to know. And that's okay. If someone asks me like, well, why do you want to know this information? And I say, oh, I'm just curious, or, you know, I'm interested in learning about your career or your job or the range for this salary for, you know, this position at your company. So if you're able to say why you want to know, then, you know, you can decide whether you want to share. When we over explain things, it tends to put us in a very defensive position. And so sometimes, you know, I tell people like, don't overshare or don't share unless you're comfortable doing it, right? And there's some things where even when someone's like, well, you know, it's just, I'm interested to see how you're budgeting. I say, I can help you with yours if you have questions, but I'm not okay sharing my information or my forecast or my budget. If you say it in a good way, it gets like the message comes across and you don't necessarily come off as a bad or negative or a gatekeeper. You could come across as genuine, like, you know, I've worked really hard on my budget, but I'm not sure it's all the way to where I need it to be. So I just need a little bit more time to work on it. And I can help you with yours, or if you have specific questions, I'm happy to answer them. But I can't just share my budget, or I can't just share my forecast, because I'm not comfortable doing so. And you know, sometimes I do ask people, I do tell people, I'm not comfortable sharing that information. Most of the times that lands pretty well. There are going to be times where you hurt someone's feelings or someone feels like you're not open or transparent. But remember, like, if it's something that's yours, you get to choose who you share it with. So don't feel like you're accountable or you have to share it. Let's talk about gatekeepers. So gatekeepers tend to be people who have information and they don't disseminate it. They like to be the expert, the know, like have all the wherewithal, be the person who has like their power comes from their ability to control this information or this process or something. And gatekeepers can be a great resource, but it's also really hard to work with them at times. So if you are working with a gatekeeper, and this is someone who has information that you need or has a process or, you know, is the one that authorizes something, I would say the best way to work with them is to establish trust. You want them to know that you're going to use this information for good, but know that you, if you are a gatekeeper, it's really hard to engage with you sometimes because you don't share openly. Because you do require so much control. And at sometimes people are going to go around you, not because you're not valuable, but because you're not forthcoming. And so remember that when you're in a corporation or in a company or working on a team, like the team depends on everybody working together. It's not dependent on just one person holding all the information and being the know-it-all or the guru. It's about that free flow of information. To establish an environment where you feel safe or inclusive, you know, we need to feel like we're part of it, like we understand. Most people will work on a team if they understand the purpose and the end goal. A lot of times if you just tell someone like, pull this data for me or just send me this file without telling them why they do it, hasta lo hacen con mala cara. You want to understand why you're doing something. And it can't just be because. It has to be for a purpose. And we want to feel like we're included. We want to feel a sense of belonging. And the best way to do that is to understand why we're doing something. We can't just show up and be like, okay, today I'm going to do this. Okay, well, why am I doing this? Why was it assigned to me? As leaders and managers, I would tell you that's how you get the best amount of collaboration and also sense of team and belonging is when everyone knows what they're doing, what their role is, and how to execute it. So if you have a gatekeeper on your team, work on helping them build trust to feel comfortable sharing that information and have that free flow and, really make sure that everyone on your team has a voice. We call that very much a democratic team environment where everyone has a voice and everyone has a vote. But if there's one person who becomes the bottleneck of information, then it doesn't feel like that anymore. And you want to be very mindful to make sure everyone feels included. We always talk about inclusiveness and inclusion. We say diversity is being invited to the party. Inclusion means being asked to dance. So just because you have everybody in the room doesn't mean that everyone feels included. And make sure that you're mindful of that when you're leading your teams and leading, a project, because you want to make sure that everyone has access to information. But also, like I said earlier, if they don't need access to it, or it's something private, or it's something that you're working on and you're not ready to share, feel free to say that. You may have a lot of people also want to influence your project, and this is a hard one, right? I take my coffee black. I heard that it's the best for absorption of the benefits of coffee, and my family tends to have a lot of diabetes in the family, so I try to keep it black just for the health benefits. Okay, sometimes you're going to get feedback, and this is all part of communicating, and so I want you to understand when you communicate with someone, one, you can ask, why do you need to know that? Two, you can choose not to share, and then thirdly, you can also not take feedback, but do it in a way that feels okay, professional, not mean. Because we can, sometimes lose it and be like, no, that's a dumb idea. And we don't want to say that, especially at work. If someone is giving us information or giving us feedback, my favorite thing to say is, I'll take that under consideration. Or, that's a good idea. Let me see if I could implement it. Or let me see if I could include it. And there's going to be times when I can include it. And there's going to be times when the idea is a good idea. And then there's going to be times when I'm like, no, thank you. Like, not going to do that. So you need to be sure that you are comfortable enough to say, no, no, thank you. Or, you'll hear me say interesting a lot. Like, that's interesting, which means I'm thinking about it and maybe I can apply it, but I'm not going to make a decision now. And sometimes people can be very, very forceful. And watch your words too when you say like you need to or you must or we must or you should. When we start using words like that, we're almost bossing that other person or like being forceful. So I would, I would start by saying my recommendation would be this, or help me understand why you took it that way, or just I have an idea. But if I say like you need to do this, I try to also be mindful and share why I think they need to do it or what the purpose is behind it so that it doesn't sound like I'm just talking at them and telling them orders. So a lot of times I do take into account all the feedback I get. I've gotten a lot of feedback from everyone who listens and I appreciate it. But I say, thank you. I'll take that into consideration, or let me see how I can add that in. Because I do value other people's opinions. I do value like what they want me to do or change. But it's not always something that I can implement or that might be the right fit. And I'm very mindful of that because I want to make sure that what I do feels authentic to me versus doing something that may feel authentic for someone else or that may not be a good fit. And, I've even had a boss. I remember he came up to me and he's like, I don't like your presentation. and, you know, you need to change it and you need to do this. And I was like, I understand that we have different presentation styles. Doesn't mean yours is good and mine is bad. We just have a different way of presenting. So why don't you let me walk you through what I have in mind and how I'm going to deliver this? And if you still feel that it's inadequate, then you could give me your feedback on where I need to improve. But I also need you to trust me that if I'm leading this sales team, I know what I'm doing. And that includes writing my presentations, and that includes delivering them in a way that feels authentic to me. I would never have done that at the beginning of my career. I would say it probably took me 15 years to have the confidence to say that. So as I give you this advice, I want you to be able to take 1% of it, 100% of it, 5% of it, whatever you can, till you get to the place where you have that confidence, or maybe the ability, or you're at the stage of your career where you're leading teams and have these budgets and forecasts. And then you could say, like, confidently, like, no, thank you. We're not going to, you know, we're not going to implement that. Or thanks for the advice. I'll think about it. But know that it took me a very long time to feel like I could say those words out loud. It took me a very long time to believe that I could actually not talk back. I was going to say talk back, but even that sounds like I'm doing something wrong. But it took me a long time to find my voice where I felt confident enough to say, this is what I'm choosing. This is my team. And this is what, you know, my number that I'm calling. And I love sales. I've always been in sales. I think we are all in sales, whether you're selling, you know, human resources processes, or you're selling a widget or a can of soda, or, you know, I sold beer. Like, I believe we're all in sales. We're just trying to convince people of doing things. I always joke that the finance team was always trying to sell me on a budget. But once you're able to feel confident and have that strength and have those years of tenure where you're like, you know what, I don't choose to do that, or I choose to do this, that makes a world of difference. It's really impactful to have your voice and have your style and to be able to say things in a way that feels authentic to you. So I want to just take this time and talk to you about that, about communication styles, about ways to approach maybe some uncomfortable questions, so that you could feel a little bit more comfortable talking to people too, and talking to people in your organization, and also, you know, respectfully declining feedback and doing it in a way that won't hurt relationships, and yeah, will help you be a better version of you. So enjoy your cafecito. Thank you for joining me today, and I'll see you next time on Corporate Cafecito. Bye.